Well, we are, by the way, I just thought I'd mention this for those who might be interested, and I think most of you will be. We're working on a new chorus book. It's going to have all the good ones we know, but we're going to expand it and add some new ones and add some new songs to it as well, and we're hoping to have that project done in January, so keep us in prayer regarding that. We want to go through this one and correct all of the typos in there, too, because they do wrap up, and every now and then I see one when we're singing a chorus, so we're hoping to get those corrected, and yeah, we're looking forward to that. I figured, you know, some of the chorus books out there are getting a little worn anyway, so it's probably about time to print up some new ones, so we're looking forward to getting that done, and of course, those of you who listen online will be happy to send you one when they are completed. Praise God. We are going to be opening our Bibles this morning. I'm putting a title on this message, and the title of today's message is actually a question. The title is it getting better or worse? Is it getting better or worse? And I think people, just hearing the title, they're probably going to think, they know where I'm going to go with this, but you might be a little surprised. Because the answer to that question is both. It's getting better and worse at the same time. I will explain to you what I mean right after we pray. Let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer, thanking thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that we could learn of thee. We thank thee that we can learn of thy wondrous plan of salvation. We thank thee, Lord, that we can be taught and that we can be educated and that we can expand our wisdom and knowledge by thy power, through thy word, and by thy spirit. We pray, Lord, that thou would do a work in our hearts and in our minds. Anoint our minds and anoint our hearts. Make us ready to receive thy word here this day. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with us, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that there is none greater than thee. Thou art sovereign, thou art almighty God, and there is no name greater than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, when you ask a question like that, most people would tell you that the obvious answer is, of course, everything is getting worse. And there was a time when people thought, well, maybe things will get better. But now we live in a society today where we've had this pandemic going on for a couple of years now. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to end sometimes. And, of course, now they're worried about a brand new variant they're calling Omicron. It's amazing how quickly things have changed in that regard. You know, it was first reported, I believe, on the 24th of November. So that wasn't that long ago. But by Thanksgiving time, they are already starting to sound the alarm. This thing is rapidly spreading. It's been detected in numerous countries already. And just based on the distance of the countries and the variety of countries where this variant has surfaced, they think it's a highly contagious, fast-spreading variant of coronavirus. And they say it's the most mutated version they've seen yet. It has over 30 mutations. So they're deeply concerned about this. And, of course, the response from Biden and, of course, from Fauci and all those guys is to say, well, run out and get vaccinated. And if it's your turn, go get the booster. And then they turn around and say, well, we don't know if the vaccines are even going to be effective against this new variant, but go get vaccinated anyway. So we have that going on, and it could be very unpleasant in the days ahead. Countries are already starting to lock down with travel restrictions in place. And Fauci said we can't rule out anything as far as restrictions in the United States go. He said we have to wait and see what this new variant is going to do. But he's not ruling out lockdowns and restrictions and everything else. And of course, we know it's really bad in Europe right now, and it has been even before this variant came along, because people are upset. They're protesting. For example, in Austria, if you're unvaccinated, you can't do anything except maybe go to the grocery store, go to the doctors, or go to your job if you still have one. Of course, a lot of those require people to be vaccinated too. But people are finding that there's this deep segregation. And what's amazing about that is it's happening all over the world. If you're unvaccinated, they set you aside. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to make you wear a star on your chest pretty soon? Or are they going to make you wear maybe a scarlet U for unvaccinated? You know, so you could be quickly identified. Hey, it's not that far-fetched. You know, before the NFL season began, all of these teams said, well, you're going to have to have the NFL said this, you're going to have a mechanism in place to identify the unvaccinated players. We suggest you make them wear color-coded bracelets. So you know right away, that person is unvaccinated. And of course, if someone's unvaccinated, they treat you like, you know, you have the plague. In fact, I mentioned this last week, but they did a study and a survey. They found that 3 out of 5 families in the United States said that if you were unvaccinated, they weren't going to let you come to their Thanksgiving or their holiday celebrations. Well, yeah, people need someone to blame for this mess, so of course they turn to the unvaccinated. But if you stop and think about it, even if the vaccines worked as well as they claim, which they don't, because if they did, they wouldn't have to be putting out these booster shots all the time. But even if the vaccines worked, you couldn't possibly vaccinate the entire world fast enough to stop new mutations and new variants from coming forth. Therefore, the vaccine will never stop COVID from existing. It just won't do it, because there's always going to be new variants spreading and coming forth. Now, they say over time, as our bodies build up an immunity to it, it could become less severe and might just become an endemic disease, kind of like getting a cold. Of course, we're not quite there yet. But I will tell you this, people who have had COVID and have recovered from it are far better off, because then you have antibodies that can fight off the whole virus. And you don't have to worry about all those side effects that you have with the vaccine. Now, I'm not saying you should go out there and intentionally try to get COVID. That would be foolish. But, if you have had it, you probably have far better protection from it than those who have been vaccinated. Obviously, the vaccines don't work as well as they say, because they have to keep doing these boosters. In fact, Fauci said the other day they might have to redefine the term fully vaccinated. And what that means is if you haven't had your booster, you're no longer considered fully vaccinated. But there's going to be another booster after that, probably, because they're already saying the immunocompromised are going to need a fourth shot. How many shots are there going to be? Do people just want to be pincushions for the rest of their lives, getting these vaccines every 6 months? Well, anyway, it's an ugly world. And, of course, we know that the coronavirus, specifically this SARS-CoV-2 version of coronavirus, has changed this world. And it has wreaked havoc on economies all over the world, from all of the shutdowns last year, and this country right now is in a terrible mess. Inflation is horrendous. In fact, General Mills just announced that the beginning of next year they're going to be raising their prices 20%. That's a big hike. And in case you're wondering, General Mills doesn't just make cereal. So If you're thinking, well, I don't eat cereal anyway, I'm out of the woods, you're not, because they make a whole bunch of other things. Remember, these food conglomerates own a ton of different brands. I'll give you a perfect example of that. If you ever go to the store and you look at the frozen pizza aisle, you might look at all these brands and think, oh, we got all these different companies making frozen pizzas for us. We got Jack's, we got Tombstone, we got DiGiorno. But then you look at the packaging and you quickly learn they're all made by the same company. There's really not as many different food companies out there as you might imagine. They make a lot of different products. In fact, one of the weirdest things is that PepsiCo, you might think of Pepsi when you think of them, and you probably would, but some people don't know this, they also make Quaker Oats. And, you know, these companies, there's just a few of them. And, of course, they provide most of the food, and they're going to be raising their prices. It's not just General Mills, but 20% is a huge price hike. We're seeing inflation all over the place. And, you know, the knuckleheads at NBC News, you know what they said just recently in the days leading up to Thanksgiving? They did this special piece on how you can save money because of inflation, you know, if you're pinching pennies. They're saying, well, in order to save money, you might want to forego serving turkey for Thanksgiving. Because if you don't serve turkey, some people might cancel and not show up at your house, and that'll save you money. Great advice, NBC. Thank you very much. But, you know, in the future, maybe they'll suggest you serve fake meat at Thanksgiving time. Who knows? Pretty soon, maybe they'll have one of those impossible turkeys. They're getting more and more fake meat all the time. I keep seeing it at the grocery store. They got impossible nuggets and impossible this and impossible that. And you know, they say it's healthy because it's vegetarian, but I read a story on this, and this was a couple of years ago when they were first coming out with these things. Those things are so full of additives that they're actually worse for you than meat. Just a little FYI. But people wonder at all these things that are happening. We see the world getting worse. And if you look at the crime in this country right now, it is unbelievable. You know, you could read in the Bible where Jesus talks about that in the end times it would be like the days of Noah. And of course, you can read the book of Genesis and you learn that in the days of Noah, the world was filled with violence. There was violence everywhere. We're starting to see that now. There's so much crime in this country, and especially in California right now. I keep seeing these stories, and it is amazing because there are these gangs of teenagers, sometimes 40 or 50 of them at a time. They will go in to some of these stores, and they will just loot everything in broad daylight. They even went into a jewelry store, about 40 of them, I think, with hammers. They busted open all of the display cases and made off with thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of jewelry. This is happening all over California now. It started in San Francisco, where Target's actually talking about closing one of their famous stores. I think it's on Mission Street. They're talking about closing it because there's so much shoplifting. In fact, people will come in there and they'll just open up, you know, maybe a box of Reese's Pieces and start eating it in the store and then throw it on the floor when they're done. So they've had to lock up all kinds of things at this Target, including things like laundry detergent, because people are stealing whatever they can get their hands on. And the cops there won't prosecute them, because San Francisco is one of those woke cities where they don't want to prosecute petty crime. So these criminals have figured that out. They just go in and they take what they want. The security guards can't do anything because they're afraid they'll get sued for excessive force. And usually, even if there's a cop there, they don't do anything either. What a world we live in. But it's not just California. In fact, I was stunned to see just how bad crime has gotten in Minneapolis and St. Paul over there in Minnesota, not too far from us. I remember going there as a kid. My parents took us all to the Mall of America once, and I tell you what, never once did I feel unsafe in Minneapolis when we were there all those years ago. But I wouldn't feel particularly safe walking the streets of Minneapolis right now. because they have so much crime there. Of course, it's bad in Chicago, too. I saw a story the other day about a woman who got carjacked by a bunch of kids, one of them being 10 years old. And Milwaukee has gotten bad. Baltimore is terrible. All of these cities are just full of crime. And now you have all these police forces all over the country that are saying, well, if you don't get vaccinated, you're fired. So they're going to lose a whole bunch of police officers, which is only going to make the crime situation worse. You look at all of these things happening in the world, and so you think the obvious answer to my question, is it getting better or worse, is that clearly it's getting worse. Well, I'll tell you what. The world is getting worse. But that doesn't mean that things can't get better for you. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to begin with. This is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And of course, we know that Jesus told a lot of parables. He didn't tell parables so that just anybody would be able to understand them. Actually, he told them for the opposite reason. He told parables so that only those who had ears to hear could hear and understand the parables. A lot of people would be gathered, they'd hear these parables, and they would think that it was just a story. And of course, even the disciples of Jesus Christ sometimes did not understand his parables, and they would ask him about his parables later on, which is convenient for us, because this parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, I'm not even going to have to explain it to you because Jesus is going to do it for us a little further on down a chapter. But there's something in this parable that I want you to take note of, and I'll let you know when we get there. But we're going to start in verse 24 right now. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And of course, this illustrates how important it is for us as Christians to make sure that we're awake in this day that we live in, this time period that we live in. We need to be awake, we need to be alert, we need to be paying attention, because we have an adversary, the devil, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if you nod off and become oblivious to what is happening around you, he might try to come into your life and sow destruction. So it's important for us to be alert, to stay focused on what is happening, to stay focused on the Word of God. In fact, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 12 tell us, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Well, I tell you what, if the night was far spent when the Apostle Paul wrote those words in the book of Romans, it's far more spent now. If our salvation, if their salvation, I should say, was nearer when he wrote that, it's certainly nearer and nearer and nearer for us. I tell you what, you look around at all these things happening in the world, and even if I were an atheist, I would start to wonder if maybe those Christians were onto something. You wonder, how could people not realize what is happening in this world? Well, part of the reason for that is because so many people are asleep. And when you are asleep, that's when the enemy tries to come in to sow destruction. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And in case you're wondering what a tare is a weed. And this story is interesting too, because there's actually a weed that looks exactly like wheat when it is young. You can't tell the difference. And so you have to wait until they mature, and then when they grow, you have that darnel wheat, they call it, and you realize it's not wheat at all, it's a tear. It eventually reveals itself. But when the crop is young, you can't tell. It looks exactly the same. It looks identical. So, verse 27 tells us, "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hast it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? I tell you what, when things are going well, when the church is functioning at a high level, when the Spirit of God is moving, the devil is going to try to come in and ruin things. He's going to try to come in and sow tares. He's going to try to come in and sow destruction and chaos, because that's what he does. But, you know, you might find that in some churches there's wheat and in some churches there are tares, and for a while you might not know the difference, but eventually it all comes to light, doesn't it? There have been times even in this church when we've had some tares in here, but you know what? They left. They're not here anymore. And if any more come in the future, I don't think they're going to stick around. Verse 28, he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Now I want you to pay special attention to verse 30 here. Verse 30, it starts out by saying, Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The wheat and the tares both grow together at the same time. If you are wheat, if you are a sheep, if you are a child of God, you will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will grow stronger. But if you are a tare, you're going to grow too. And you're going to grow more evil and more wicked. You're going to grow worse and worse. So is it getting better or worse? The answer is both. Better for the Christian, worse for the wicked ones. Because both are growing together. And for a time, you know, some people are pretenders and they might fool you for a while. But eventually it all comes to light. And Jesus here is even talking about the harvest at the end of the world. And notice here, this is interesting too. What does it say? It says that the tares are gathered first. Now, if the tares are gathered first, how could there possibly be a secret rapture? And that's just one of the many proofs that we have in the Bible that clearly and succinctly disprove the pre-tribulation rapture theory. It's just not going to happen. God is not going to whisk his people away before the fireworks start. In fact, I'd venture to say that the fireworks have already started when you look at what's happening in the world. So, the wheat and the tares grow together. Both are growing. Right now, in fact. But you have situations where they're gathering all those tares together. In fact, I think the gathering of the tares has already begun. It's something that started with the United Nations years and years and years ago. And then you have Pope Francis calling for a one world religion. All of this unity that they propose is the gathering of the tares. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? I would think most of us probably have at one time or another. They are tiny, tiny little mustard seeds. It is hard to imagine that something so small could grow into something so great. But that's exactly what happens with the mustard seed. It grows into a mighty tree. And our faith can operate the same way. It might start small, but let God build your faith into something mighty and strong. In fact, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Oh, faith starts small, but as God works in your life, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. As you see the miracles start to happen, your faith continues to grow. It grows into something so mighty, so strong, if you just let God work in your life. Verse 32. "Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." People become a little puzzled by this parable sometimes, wondering what it means. Well, I tell you what, leaven in the Bible is never presented as a good thing. I think what this is referring to is the enemy trying to sneak in and bring leaven into the church of God. So we need to be vigilant of that. We need to be watchful of that, because as the scriptures say, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Notice here, she tries to hide the leaven. Tries to hide it. Sneak it in. People will do that. They'll try to sneak in some leaven. But we can't let that happen. Now, we're going to be going back to the parable of the wheat and the tares, because his disciples are going to ask Jesus to explain it. They didn't quite understand what he was talking about, but this is such a blessing for us, isn't it? He is going to explain exactly what he meant. There's going to be no ambiguity about it. It's not going to be up to any private interpretation. Jesus is going to tell us exactly what he meant. Now, verse 34 tells us, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Verse 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Well, I think we all understand that. It's Jesus. He sows the good seed, and sometimes he uses us to sow the good seed. Verse 38, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But notice here, what does the Pope say sometimes? He says, we are all God's children, doesn't he? He says that, you know, referring to everybody in the world. And he says Muslims worship the same God we do. Well, listen, Pope Francis, if Muslims are worshiping the same God you are, then you're not worshiping the same God I am. But notice here, Jesus plainly says the tares are the children of the wicked one. That means the devil has children too. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Whoa. You mean the world's going to end one day? Yes. That's exactly what Jesus said. The harvest is the end of the world. And the harvest happens at the end of the world. The harvest does not happen during a pre-trib rapture. Amen. It happens at the end of the world. Yeah. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So we see quite clearly exactly what this parable means. I love this so much. It makes it so easy. We don't have to sit around and try to decipher what he meant by this parable because he just told us. It's about the end of the world, with the wheat being the good seed, the children of God, the kingdom of God, and the tares being the children of the wicked one. That's pretty basic. That's pretty easy to understand. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, even as plainly as he explained this parable, there are still going to be people who don't have ears to hear and cannot understand. But that's okay. We know that's going to happen sometimes. You might find yourselves in situations where you're trying to perhaps witness to someone and they just can't get it. There's a wall there. Well, either that wall is going to have to come down by the grace of God, or you're going to have to move on and find somebody else who will listen. You don't want to spend all of your time on just one project. There are many people who need to hear the gospel. And remember, you're never going to save anyone. It's God who does that. He's the one who has to work in their hearts and change their hearts. Sure, you can certainly help sow the seed, and that's wonderful to be used of the Lord. But you have to let him do the work. Now, we see in this parable that the wheat and the tares grow together. Christians grow stronger in the faith, whereas the tares grow more wicked. But we know that as Christians, we must bring forth good fruit. You can tell who belongs to the Lord and who does not by the fruit that is brought forth. It's the distinguishing factor. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be starting in verse 13. Verse 13 tells us in Matthew chapter 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. And straight, actually there, S-T-R-A-I-T, just means narrow. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You know, there are two roads. Both lead to eternity. But these roads do not run parallel. They go opposite directions. The straight road leads to eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, it's going to be a difficult journey to get there. But that road that the majority is on, that broad way, that leads to destruction. And sadly, it tells us, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? When you stop and think about this and ponder it, Jesus said, few there be that find it. Now, when we get to heaven, it's going to seem like there are a lot of people there. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us it's going to be a multitude that no man can number. But that's everyone who ever believed on the Lord throughout history. Those in the Old Testament who looked for the Messiah to come, and those of us who look at what the Messiah did and believe on him in faith. But that is just a very small percentage of the people who lived in this world throughout the history of mankind. And it's certainly a very small percentage of the people who are alive in this world right now. It's sad to think about that, but I want you to take comfort in the simple fact that that does not have to be you. Stay on the straight and narrow. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you will be okay. You will be fine. He knows how to get you from here to there. And as long as you're following Jesus, you will never go the wrong way. Verse 15 tells us, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." You know, I have burdock plants in my backyard. I'm never happy to see them. It's an invasive weed. It causes a lot of trouble. You get those burrs on there, but I don't expect to go out there one day and find grapes growing on those burdock plants. That's not going to happen. They're going to bring forth burdock burrs, which are extremely hard to get rid of because they stick to everything. In fact, fun little fact about burdock burrs, the guy who invented Velcro actually got the idea for it from burdock. He looked at those burrs, he examined them closely and saw how the little loops hooked together, and he thought, I'm going to mimic that, and that's how he came up with Velcro. But I know that those plants aren't going to bring forth grapes or figs. They're going to bring forth burdock burrs. These plants bring forth fruit, but is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? We as Christians must bring forth good fruit. Verse 17 tells us, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You know, sometimes we need to stop and examine the fruit. Because people can even claim to be Christians. They might claim they love the Lord. They might claim they love Jesus. But what does their fruit look like? Verse 19. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." You know, as we grow, we bring forth fruit. The wheat will bring forth good fruit. The tares will bring forth bad fruit. But you know what's interesting is many of these, like for example, fruit trees that you look at, you plant it, and when the tree is young, it doesn't bring forth any fruit. Sometimes it can take years for a tree to bring forth fruit. Why? Because it has to grow first. It must grow. In fact, a dwarf apple tree doesn't start bearing fruit until 2 to 3 years after you plant it, and a standard size apple tree can take up to 8 years to bear fruit. So when we come to God as little baby Christians, we might not necessarily bring forth fruit right away. We have to grow. It takes time. We have to grow and we have to mature in the faith so that we can bring forth good fruit. That's why it's so important for us to grow as Christians. Because if you don't grow, you won't bring forth any fruit, good or bad. And as Christians, we must bring forth good fruit. And as you grow, as you become a stronger Christian, you will bring forth that good fruit. It may not happen right away. Even the Apostle Paul, after his miraculous conversion, had to go and seek the Lord and study for a time before he went out and preached the gospel. Don't expect it to all happen at once. But you can grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the faith until you grow into a mighty tree bringing forth much fruit. We start out small. In fact, when we come to the Lord, we come to him as little children. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1 tells us, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." What is Jesus talking about here? Well, when a child is young, they look up to their parents in awe and in admiration, trusting their parents to provide for all of their needs and trusting that their parents will never, ever lie to them. Trusting their parents to be honest and to conduct themselves admirably. Children, young children, look up to their parents. As young children of God, we're supposed to do the same thing. We start out as a small child. We come to the Lord as a child, believing what he says in faith, not questioning it, not doubting it, not wondering if he's lying to us, but we just trust that the Lord is being honest with us the same way a young child would trust a parent. Thus, we must come to the Lord as small children. And we grow. From there we grow. And we get stronger. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 through 2 tell us, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Yes, we start on the milk of the word. But eventually, as we grow stronger, as there's growth, as we bring forth that good fruit, eventually we move on to the meat. It's important for us to grow. As Christians, we need to grow. Because I tell you what, the tares are growing right now. Those tares are getting bigger all the time. We see them working and at work in this world. Yes, the wheat and the tares are both growing side by side, and we need to make sure that as the wheat, we are stronger than the tares. We're going to turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 talked about Christian growth and how we need to come to the Lord as small children and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We talked about how we must bring forth good fruit. And now we're going to talk about how people in the last days, evil people, the tares, are growing worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us in verse 1, This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, I don't think many people can dispute that we're living in perilous times right now. We're seeing things happening right now in a world that we've never seen happen before. I know there have been perilous times before, but even those hard times, those rough times, World War II, World War I, terrible things happen, but what's happening in this world right now could end up being worse than all of those things. We just don't know what the days ahead hold for us, but we know that this world is in deep, deep trouble. We are certainly living in perilous times right now, unprecedented times. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And of course, this verse here, verse 2 and verse 3 and so on, is talking about the tares. These people are the tares. They're growing. They are growing. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Of course, we see a lot of that in this day and age, don't we? What did Jesus say? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're seeing it happen in this world today. People are losing their ability to sympathize and empathize with others. And of course, we know that there are many women out there who are aborting their children. You couldn't do that if you had the God-given natural affection that a mother is supposed to have. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Yes, we're probably going to be seeing more and more of that in the days ahead too. False accusers. People love to accuse, especially in this day and age when you have cancel culture, when you have the woke mob. And they look back. They will scrutinize your social media. They'll look back years and years trying to find anything that they can use to find fault with you. In fact, I've heard of instances where they looked at people's old social media posts, things they posted when they were a teenager, and because of that, these people lost their jobs. They look back on things that are way, way, way off in the past, and they like to drudge that up. You have people who are just desperate to find fault. And they think that's great until it happens to them, until they turn on each other. And you better believe that's going to happen too. Because they're not just false accusers towards God's people. They're false accusers towards one another. Incontinent, that means lacking self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. Well, that's an interesting word. You might wonder, what does heady mean? Well, heady refers to rash or reckless. High-minded. Another unusual term that you might not hear very often. What does that mean? High-minded. High-minded means to blind with pride or conceit, to render foolish or stupid, beclouded, besotted. In other words, you become so lifted up in your own pride and conceit that it makes you stupid. And of course, you might wonder, well, you said that it means beclouded or besotted. What do those words mean? Sometimes you look up a word in a dictionary and you have to look up the words that's in the definition, too. Becloud means to make confused. Besotted means intoxicated, infatuated, or obsessed. So, if you are high-minded, you can be all of those things. You can be so lifted up in your pride and conceit that you become stupid. You can be confused in your pride. You can be intoxicated with your pride. Or you can become infatuated or obsessed. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, people say that they love God, but do they love pleasure more than they love God? People should ask themselves a question sometimes. What do I love more? Do I love God more than I love Netflix? Well, I tell you what, people spend an awful lot more time on Netflix than they do on God and all these other streaming services they have nowadays. You know, this world has changed so much. TV is not just TV anymore. You know, you don't even have to have a TV to watch TV. You can walk around with your phone and watch TV. You can watch it on your tablets. You can watch it on your computers. And, you know, that's because we live in this connected world where the internet has become so prevalent. And yes, people become addicted to these things, and they become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. People might have a form of godliness, but they don't fully embrace it. They don't fully embrace the power thereof. And you know where the power is? The power is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is where the power is. If you deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And that's why when we baptize people in this church, we baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like they did in the book of Acts. Amen. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. I tell you what, divers there means various, and lusts can come in many forms, but they wreak havoc on the hearts and the minds of the people. They can drag you away from God, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, there are people out there who are very intelligent. Some of these scientists are very intelligent, but they also don't know the Lord. So they might know things, they might have head knowledge, but they're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you're never going to figure out this universe, but you're going to have an even harder time trying to figure things out if you don't know the Lord. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres, in case you're wondering, refers to the magicians in Egypt when Moses came. And as you might recall, he had his staff, which became a serpent when he threw it down. And of course, the magicians there, they threw down their supposed staffs as well, and they also became serpents. But the thing is, Moses' staff was really a staff. The magicians, they just had snakes. There was a special type of snake in that day and age where if you grabbed it in just the right spot, grabbed the right nerve, they became as rigid as a stick. And you could even tap them on the ground. And they were just holding snakes. But they withstood Moses. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. What does reprobate mean? Well, when you're reprobate, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. I think that might be the biggest problem in the world today. People do not know the difference between right and wrong. In fact, they call evil good, and they call good evil. That was a problem in Old Testament Israel, and you can believe that it's a problem in the United States of America in the year 2021. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Oh, the Apostle Paul endured so much. Persecution, affliction. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked. At one point, he had to be let down out of a window in a basket. But all of those afflictions only made him stronger. In fact, those afflictions and persecution sparked growth in him, just as it still sparks growth in the Christian people today. Persecution has always done that in the Christian church since the very beginning. Yes, the early church was so persecuted, and the more they persecuted that church, the more it grew. That's why 2,000 years later, there are still Christian people. Not as many, but there are still Christian people. And, you know, it's still true today. Persecution actually makes us stronger. In China, they try so hard to stifle genuine Christianity. Oh, they have state-sponsored churches. Those aren't the ones they crack down on. They want to find the underground churches. Those are the ones they look for to destroy. But they can't stop it. The Christian church in China keeps growing. This was a few years back already, but they estimated there were 20 million underground Christians in China. 20 million. Sometimes I wonder if maybe they have more Christians in China than we do here in the United States. But the persecutions make them stronger in the faith. That was true for the early Christian church. It's still true today. You wonder, how did the Apostle Paul get so strong? How did he grow so much into that mighty tree of faith that he became? It's because he was persecuted so much. Of course, we, the Christians in the United States, we've had it relatively easy for a long time, but that very well could be changing. I think we've already started to see a shift. There's this rising hostility towards God's people. And that's going to grow more and more pronounced the closer we come to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to have to get stronger. We're going to have to get tougher. And this is encouraging for us because, yes, Paul endured all these afflictions, but what did he say? But out of them all the Lord delivered me. So if you ever find yourself in these situations, just remember that God is able to deliver you as well. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Of course, verse 13, we use this verse a lot, don't we? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Yes, the tares are growing. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So when we ask that question, is it getting better or is it getting worse? I still say the answer is both. It'll get better for you as a Christian if you are firmly established in your faith, if you trust the Lord completely, if you grow in Him, if you let Him make you stronger, well, then it'll get better for you. And I'm not saying you won't have to endure hard things in this life. You will. We all do. Because the storms of this life come for everyone. It comes for those who build their house on the sand and for those who build their house on the rock. The storms come for all. But thankfully, if you're built on a rock, you can withstand those storms. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What do we do when we think about this world growing worse? Evil men and seducers waxing worse, deceiving and being deceived. What do we do? How do we proceed from that? Well, these are our instructions. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Keep doing what you've been doing the whole time. Keep studying the Word of God. Keep praying. Keep worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
And grow. Grow stronger. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, this book is so precious because the verses we find on the pages of this book make us wise unto salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, it's important. Read this book, because this book will make you grow. It'll make you stronger. Is it getting better? Well, if you love the Lord, it'll get better for you. But is it getting worse? Yeah, it's getting worse. The world is getting worse. Thankfully, we have the Lord on our side.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm going to close with a prayer now, and we're going to trust the Lord to be with us, to help his people, to strengthen his people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee, O God, that we are able to learn of thee, that we are able to grow stronger than thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen the faith of all thy people, those who are here in this building, those who are listening online, all of thy people throughout this whole world. We pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen thy people so that we may grow stronger and grow more fruitful in the days ahead. We know, O God, that the world is evil. We know that the world is growing worse and worse, that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we know that we can grow in thee and grow stronger, and that as Christians our lives can be better each and every day. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us to walk with thee for the entirety of our lives, to be mindful of thee, to embrace thy promises, and to embrace thy word. We pray, O God, for thy strength in all things, and bless thy people, we pray, in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And by the way, those who might be wondering, I am working on a new newsletter. I'm a little over halfway done with it. I'm going to be writing more today and finishing up tomorrow, Lord willing. Praise God. Well, we have a request here, and Don will like this one. The request for the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Number 289 in hymnal number 2.
judgment seat. Always swift my soul to answer him, be true with my feet. His truth is my cheek.
Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.